Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Rates and Lanes with Rico Mohammed. This is the show where we improve your knowledge of the freight market, improve your bottom line, and improve the transportation industry as a whole. We're talking rates and lanes. Let's move on down the audio road.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, Rico Mohammed. This is the Rates and Lanes podcast. Been on a little bit of a hiatus, and tonight I tell you, some things have been in the way that's kind of trying to prevent the show from jumping off tonight. Computers just have an update to my computer, and it was down, and it literally just came back up 5 minutes ago. So give me a few seconds. We're going to try to fill the space real quickly. I got some information that I'm trying to get back up and some stuff that we need to have to get the show off. But glad to be back anyway, back in the saddle again. Was out of the country for a couple of days. Well, we took a little while. Took a little time off, try to recharge the old batteries and that whole thing. And much needed, much deserved a little bit of time away. You hadn't had a vacation in quite some time. And so, yeah, we're trying to get back in the groove, get back in the saddle again. Let me see. I'm trying to get the USDA report back up so that I can get that information for you guys. And also I'm trying to get the information available for the bad broker report as well, because I know we've been gone for a little while, but I want to try to get that information for you guys as well. And let's see. Everything is going haywire over on my end, but I'm going to work it out. Just bear with me for a few seconds, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. All right. We got this week's DAT, not DAT, excuse me. We have the USDA fruit and vegetable report back. And for this week, I'm going to try to post links a little bit later on, because I was trying to do all this before the show, but like I said, things kind of went haywire. And this week, we don't have any markets that are showing us that there are any shortages or slight shortages throughout the United States. There's not one market that is reporting any kind of movement right there, which is bad news for us, because we'd like to see a little bit of movement on that shortage or slight shortage side of the table. But we do have a little couple of areas that have slight surpluses, so those are areas that we want to know so we can know where we need to try to avoid or make sure that we take a little bit of extra if we're working that spot market going into those areas. And those two areas that are showing a slight surplus right now are both in Texas. Texas as a whole and Mexico crossing through Texas are both showing slight surpluses of loads to trucks right now. So if you're going down that way, headed down into the Laredo, McAllen, Brownsville area of Texas, and Texas on general purposes, you want to get a little bit extra going in, because coming out, it may be a little tight. Let's move on from there. And we may have Mr. Chuck Snow will be joining us tonight as well. Like I said, everything kind of went haywire here, right here at the end. And so we're trying to get everything back in order, though. All right. Moving on from there, let's jump over into this week's DAT trend lines of this week. Freight volume surged in the week following Thanksgiving, sending van rates up 2 cents to $2.09 per mile, and flatbed rates were up 1 cent to $2.30 per mile. Reefer rates held steady at an unseasonal high of $2.43 per mile. November's monthly average rate for both vans and reefers hit levels not seen since June of 2014. Let's take a deeper dive and let's jump over into the van load to truck, van load demand and capacity. And for the week of November 26th to December 2nd, load board activity surged last week following the Thanksgiving holiday. Van load post increased 68% and truck post increased 23%. That caused the load truck ratio to jump 37% from 6.8 loads per truck up to 9.3 loads per truck, the highest load to truck ratio in years, and the national average rate increased by 2 cents. Historically, taking a look back, van load post increased by 11% in November compared to October, and truck post fell 7%. As a result, the November load to truck ratio increased 19% to 6.9 van loads per truck, the highest monthly average in years. November ratio was 124% higher than it was in November of 2016. Okay, and the national average price for diesel currently, it's down by 0.3 percentage points, down to $2.92 per gallon on a national average. Let's jump over in. Let's see how the rates performed for dry vans over the past week on the spot market. We have the national average van rate increased 2 cents to $2.09 per mile as retail goods made their way across the country from west to east. Van rates moved higher in Columbus, Ohio, Allentown, PA, as freight moved into position near major population centers. Rates were also up in Denver. Taking a look back historically, the national average van rate for November increased 7 cents per mile compared to October. That's the highest monthly average in more than 3 years. The rate was 40 cents higher than the average in November of 2016. Taking a look around the country, we have Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, checking in out at northeastern portion of the United States, showing an average spot market rate of $2.05 per mile. Moving down into the southeastern portion of the United States, we have Atlanta, Georgia, checking in, showing average spot market rates of $2.35 per mile. Moving up into the Midwest portion of the United States, we have Chicago, Illinois, checking in, showing average spot market rate for dry vans at $2.74 per mile. Moving down into the Midwestern portion of the United States, we have Dallas, Texas, checking in, showing average spot market rates of $1.89 per mile. Moving over into the West Coast, the City of Angels, Los Angeles, California, is checking in, showing average spot market rates of $2.72 per mile coming out of the West Coast. And that wraps up that portion of the dry van portion of the DAT report. Let's move over to the skateboards, the flatbed demand and capacity portion of the report. For November 26th through December 2nd, flatbed load post and truck post increased as expected. Following the Thanksgiving holiday, load post jumped 67% and truck post increased by 42%. That caused the load-to-truck ratio to rise 18% loads per truck. The national average flatbed rate moved higher last week. And so let's take back a look historically. Compared to October, flatbed load postings were down by 29% in November, while truck postings declined by 3%. That resulted in a 27% decline in the load-to-truck ratio compared to the previous month at 29 loads per truck. The ratio was 94% higher than in November of 2016. Let's take a look back and see how the flatbed spot market rates were performing December the 2nd. And in the week following Thanksgiving, the national average flatbed rate increased 1 cent to $2.30 per mile. The flatbed load-to-truck ratio also moved higher last week. Taking a look back historically, the national average flatbed rate in November dipped 3 cents to $2.33 per mile compared to October's record high. Flatbed rates are 40% higher than in November of 2016. Taking a look around the country, starting out in the northeastern portion of the United States, we have Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, checking in, showing $3.91 per mile on the moving down into the southeastern portion of the United States. Atlanta, Georgia, checks in, showing average spot market rates of $2.48 per mile. Moving into the Midwest, Rock Island checks in, showing $2.90 per mile for spot market on flatbeds. Moving down into the South Central, coming out of Houston, Texas, average spot market rate of $2.55 per mile. And wrapping up the flatbed spot market report, coming out of the West Coast, Phoenix, Arizona, checks in showing an average spot market rate of $1.65 per mile. And now, wrapping up the report, moving on over to temperature control, the reefer segment, demand and capacity portion of this report. Reefer load posts spiked in the week following Thanksgiving week. Posts soared by 55%, while truck posts increased only 12%. That caused the load-to-truck ratio to increase 40% to a multi-year high of 13.2 loads per truck. The national average reefer rate was unchanged. Moving back, looking back historically, in November, reefer load posts increased by 14%, while truck posts declined by 2% compared to October. That caused the load-to-truck ratio to increase 16% up to 12 loads per truck. The ratio was up 78% compared to November of 2016. To see how those reefer rates were performing on the spot market around the country. And for the week of November 26th through December the 2nd, the national average reefer rate held steady at $2.43 per mile for the second week in a row. That's the highest average reefer rate in more than 3 years. The reefer load-to-truck ratio also hit a multi-year high. Thinking back historically, in November, the national average reefer rate was $2.43 per mile, which was 11 cents higher than the October average and the highest monthly average since June of 2014. Compared to November 2016, the rate was 47 cents higher. Taking a look around the country, starting out in the northeastern portion of the United States, we have Elizabeth, New Jersey, checking in, showing average spot market rates for reefers at $2.01 per mile. Moving down into the mid-Atlantic or the southeastern portion of the report, we got Lakeland, Florida, checking in, showing average spot market rates for reefers at $1.35 per mile. Moving into the Midwest, Green Bay, Wisconsin, checks in, showing average spot market rate for reefers at $3.62 per mile. Moving down into the south central portion of the United States, McAllen, Texas, checking in, showing average spot market rates of $2.07 per mile. And wrapping up the report coming out of the West Coast, we have Fresno, California checking in, showing average spot market rates. Blank showing average spot market rates of $2.36 per mile. And that, ladies and gentlemen, will wrap up this week's DAT report. And I'm trying to get back and get my bad broker report. So I appreciate you guys for bearing with me, having a lot of stuff that seems to be going a little haywire on my end. And let's see here. The magic of live radio. Okay, some of the stuff is coming together. I see we got, I got my screeners back on board, so we'll be able to take a couple of calls tonight. Let's see, I'm trying to get the, get in here so I can get this bad broker report. And I had it compiled, and here we go. All right. So we're going to be able to go back. Let's see. Since we are December the 6th, we're just going to go back to everything that we found for this month, beginning this month. And we got quite a few of them on the list. So we got Valencia. We're going to start off with Valencia Freight Company, Inc. That MC number for Valencia Freight Company is 972-537. FMCSA shows trust fund is canceled. Over $44,000 in non-payment complaints have been reported. Overland Express, LLC, that MC number is 515-790. Trust fund is canceled. Over $30,000 in non-payment complaints have been reported. TM Express, Inc., MC number is 623-133. Almost $23,000 in non-payment complaints have been reported. M&M Logistics Incorporated or Grace Trucking, Inc., that MC number is 703-978. FMCSA shows surety bond canceled. Over $37,000 in non-payment complaints have been reported. Marco Logistics, LLC or Marco Transportation, LLC, that MC number is 736-882. FMCSA shows trust fund is canceled. Over $153,000 in active non-payment complaints have been reported. Pro Alliance Network, Inc., that MC number is 995-803. Trust fund canceled. Over $62,000 in reported non-payment complaints have been reported. There's also a report out that says that there are nearly $1 million in unpaid carrier invoices. This Pro Alliance Network, Inc. is in extreme risk. Drayden, Inc., All Fresh Transportation. That MC number is 252-905. Surety bond canceled. Over $108,000 in non-payment complaints have been reported. Now operating is All Fresh Logistics, Inc. MC number is 989-932. Carriers beware, this is a high risk broker. Precision Cargo and Recovery, Inc. MC number is 516-196. Over $9,000 in non-payment complaints have been reported. FMCSA shows surety bond canceled. Extreme risk. Cart Brokerage Services, LLC. That MC number is 354-556. FMCSA shows trust fund scheduled for cancellation. Over $617,000 in non-payment complaints have been reported. Cagney Global Logistics, Inc. That MC number is 303-409. FMCSA shows trust fund canceled. Over $101,000 in non-payment complaints have been reported. Twist Logistics, Inc., 536669 is that MC number. Over $73,000 in non-payment complaints have been reported. FMCSA shows trust fund is canceled. Willow Creek Transport and Brokerage, Inc., MC number is 639595. Over $56,000 in non-payment complaints reported to Truck Stop. Phoenix Logistics Supply Chain Solutions, Inc., that MC number is 543910. There has been reported that this broker has $90,000 in unpaid carrier invoices. Recycling Revolutions, LLC. This is a shipper. Recycling Revolution, LLC, showed that this broker has $7,000 in unpaid carrier invoice. This is a shipper. There is no MC number for this. This is a shipper. Billion Palau Corporation, BP Logistics. Millennium Corporation, BP Logistics. That MC number is 789146. There are over $33,000 in non-payment complaints that have been reported. That MC number for them is 789146. Flying Eagle Transport, LTD. MC number is 517898. Shorty Bun Council. Goodness gracious. There's notice that there's an intent for nearly $64 million in unpaid carrier invoices for Flying Eagle Transport, LTD. Once again, that MC number is 517898. Buzz Logistics, LLC. The MC number is 792039. Trust fund is canceled. Over $432 in non-payment complaints have been reported. So we got as little as $432 and as much as $64 million right now, and I'm still going. Excel Freight Logistics, LLC. That MC number is 95134. Over $6,000 in non-payment complaints have been reported. Gabriel Forwarders, Inc., Gravel Van Lines, LLC. MC number is 184224. This broker has over $85,000 in unpaid carrier invoices. South Coast Logistics, LLC. That MC number is 911001. Trust fund is canceled. Over $50,000 in active non-payment complaints have been reported. Jones Express, Inc., MC number 200308, has over $31,000 in unpaid carrier invoices. Intercoastal Wholesale and Distribution, Inc., MC number 835934, Surety Bond canceled. Nearly $54,000 in unpaid carrier invoices. Cardi Logistics, LLC, Cardi Transportation, LLC. That MC number is 929464. FMCSA shows trust fund canceled. Over $23,000 in non-payment complaints have been reported. ITL Logistics, LLC. MC number is 944066. Surety bond canceled. Over $6,000 in non-payment complaints have been reported. Bullet Truck Brokerage. MC number 762618. Over $17,000 in non-payment complaints to National Service Corp. MC number 215893. FMCSA shows surety bond. Shows trust fund canceled. There have been reports of nearly $10,000 in unpaid carrier invoices from Ansonia Credit Data. World Steel, Inc. This is a shipper. World Steel, Inc. out of Houston, Texas. No broker authority or bond. had there, they noticed that there is over $12,000 in unpaid carrier invoices from Ansonia credit data. Headman Inc., that MC number is 684-165. FMCSA shows bond is canceled. Over $3,000 in non-payment complaints have been reported. Now operating as LeBeau Logistics Corporation, the MC number for the new 995-393. National Truck Lines, LLC, MC number is 970-549. FMCSA shows bond canceled. Over $32,000 in non-payment complaints have been reported. And wrapping up the report, and these, everything that I've listed off, that I've read off to you guys right now, all of this is showing just as of 12/1/2017. So we didn't even go back for this whole time period that we were out on a little bit of hiatus. So I can only imagine. So I just hope that everybody has been being diligent on their on doing their background checks, on making sure that they are checking these people out, vetting them before they provide services to them, and hopefully none of our listeners have been caught up and snared by any of these bad brokers that are out here. The last one on the list here is Coastal Truck Lines. That MC number is 943-632. FMCSA shows trust fund is canceled. Over $13,000 in non-payment complaints have been reported. So, yeah, we're hoping that nobody has had the unfortunate circumstances of dealing with these guys or pulling any of these guys' freight. And when I get a chance, next time I have Hank Seaton on with us, I want to ask him some questions, too, because I've seen that there were a couple of people that were on that list that have reincarnated under a new brokerage, and I was under the assumption that there were supposed to be safety measures in place through the new laws through FMCSA to try to prevent that from happening, and what are the ramifications that are going to be levied down for people that are guilty of such violations because they just close one book of business after they've ripped off a bunch of people and open up a whole new, open up a new shingle and start the process all over again. And so, what's there to help protect the, you know, the small guys and the trucking companies out there to prevent these things from happening? And so, I'm waiting to see if you are on the line. Press number one, so we can see you and get you up and on board if you're with us. Chuck was going to try to drop by with us tonight and share some information with us as well. And I'm trying to have some other stories that I was trying to get to you guys, but like I said, my computer just went through an update. And we lost everything that we had already pulled up for you guys. Also, we got important dates that are coming down the pipeline right now. While we're thinking about it, and I'm trying to see if I can recover some of this data and information that I had for you guys. Right now, you know, it's open enrollment period for healthcare. If you don't have healthcare, you can go to the healthcare.gov and begin the process for your state to try to get health care coverage for yourself and for your family. If you don't have it, if you're an owner-operator and you don't have health care coverage, you have open enrollment is now until December the 15th. December the 15th is kind of like the deadline to be able to get coverage. So make sure that you are being diligent going about and get yourself covered to make sure that you are good to go for next year, that you got health care coverage. Also, fastly approaching, and I'm not sure there was some information that may have been coming down, but there's still some last-ditch efforts to try to see if there's going to be some type of hold back or repeal to the ELD laws kicking in. But if not, then you know, that deadline is fast approaching as well. And that's kind of what I wanted to get from you guys tonight, to find out, if you don't mind, give me some feedback. What is it that you guys are to help out the other listeners that may be listening in? What solutions have you found? What are you using to give some other people some feedback on some things that might be able to help them out if they got so we want to try to help provide some people. I am currently using, I have been using for the past few years, I've been using the Rand McNally Fleet T&D Fleet Edition by Rand McNally. It's a fully integrated ELD system, plugs into the truck, the whole nine. That's what I have been using for quite some time now. There's some pros and cons to that, to using that system. It can be a little bit cumbersome. It doesn't have all of the different bells and whistles that I like. And even the GPS portion of it is not the greatest that I, you know, the regular Rand McNally GPS, the routing is a little bit better than what's available on this, than what's on the, okay, Chuck, press number one for me, let me, so I can see you on the line. Just got a message that Chuck was on the line. And maybe my call screen may be asleep at the helm. Let me try this one. Chuck, is that you?
Yes, it is, Rico.
All right, good deal.
How are you?
I'm well. I got a chance to recharge the batteries a little bit. Like I said, we had a little bit of a hiatus, was out of the country for a little while, and coming back, trying to get back in the saddle again. Everything kind of a crazy day. I had everything kind of already laid out, and then I got an alert on my computer saying it needed an update, and I hit the update button, and I barely got everything back up and going maybe 2 minutes before the scheduled time for the show to jump off.
Well, that's how it goes. You know, man makes plans and God laughs.
Exactly. So it's been a little haywire over here. But
yeah, that's, I can tell.
Was talking about the upcoming pending ELD deadline. And man, it's been a while since we had a show. So, you know, ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome our good friend and resident mentor to the show, Mr. Chuck Snow. Chuck, since the last time we've had a chance to talk, man, give us an update. Bring us up to speed on everything that been going on your end, and also, you know, some news and different news stories and stuff. Because I seen that you and Hank Seaton was hanging out up at the NASDAQ function. While I was down in Mexico, and that looked like that you guys had a blast up there. So catch everybody up on what's been going on and with you guys.
Well, I got to tell you, the guys at NASDAQ, they do it right. They put on a spread this year. This is my second year being there. This year we were an exhibitor, and it was phenomenal. The speakers were good. He had some new speakers. And he had some of the same people, but they had different messages. This year he had an addition, a fascinating woman by the name of Marilyn Landis, and she was unbelievable. And she works with the Ombudsman's Office for the Small Business Association in Washington, D.C. And she's working tirelessly for small business people, especially owner-operators. One of the things, you know, being Canadian, it's a little bit different a landscape here than it is in the U.S. I didn't realize the difficulty that small business people have in the United States getting traditional financing from banks. It's just not available in a lot of cases, and therefore people in our industry especially are forced to go to alternative, more expensive financing, such as factoring, which is a very, very expensive way to grow your business. We've talked about it on the show a number of times. And one of the other things that came out is just Washington is just so difficult a place to maneuver for anybody that doesn't know the landscape. So any of these organizations like NASTIC, I don't know what it costs for a single owner operator to join, somebody that has their own authority, but it's certainly well worth your while. They have a full-time lobbyist, and they've got great connections. One of the real interesting takeaways from that show that I want to share with everybody, we had an economist speaking, and I'm sorry, I don't remember his name. He was there last year, a brilliant speaker, and the man certainly understands business, has a good idea about our industry, and he brought up a great point that I don't think we've ever brought it up on this show, and that is, if you're going after customers, don't go after customers that have commodities. That means don't go after people that have lumber. Don't go after people that have steel. Don't go after people that have grain. Don't go after people that have garbage. Because what happens in those cases, the freight bill is such a huge percentage of the value that those customers will leave you for a penny because freight is so important. We really need to concentrate on going after customers where the freight is such a small component of the amount of goods being shipped, because those people don't care. What they care about is service. So if you go after machinery and pharmaceuticals and things like that, you're going to do a lot better than you are going after things like garbage and grain. And it made so much sense. And it was a great takeaway that we were all talking about afterwards.
That's very interesting.
Yeah. You know, that's really the best thing I've heard in a long time. And it makes so much sense. Because it costs you the same to run your truck.
Commoditized freight.
Right.
And you were speaking about NASTIC, just for everybody that may or may not be familiar, if we got someone new that's on the line. NASTIC stands for National Association of Small Trucking Companies, one of the very few associations that are out here of the alphabet soups of associations that is well worth the price of membership. Single owner operators, I think it's $250 a year. My guy up there at NASTIC is Bobby Copeland. If you decide to join, you know, if you hear it from us, just tell him that we passed you along to him. We don't really get anything out of it. I just kind of like to refer to people that I know that I've dealt with up that way. Bobby is a real good guy. They also offer truck insurance, NASTIC fuel. Join the membership, to get the fuel card is worth the price of the membership. It pays for itself.
Oh, you're right on that one, Rico. A good friend of mine up here in Canada, now he runs about 16 or 17 trucks, and he's a member of NASTIC just for the fuel. He loves their fuel program. It really works for him where he runs. And I spoke to an awful lot of owner-operators there and small fleet owners, and the fuel program was well worth it, because what they're doing is they're buying it, they take everybody's purchase and they chunk them all together, they consolidate them.
Absolutely.
And they make those purchases, they get great deals because of those purchases, because they're able to do it so much cheaper, to buy fuel so much cheaper because of the fact that they've got the volume.
They get killer deals, and their discount will beat trying to buy fuel with cash
at
mom and pop truck stops. And I know that you can go to mom and pop truck stops and you get a nice discount or whatever, but you'll get a better price on fuel utilizing NASTIC, and that's one way to pay for the membership outright. You know, it'll pay for itself depending on how hard you're running and the frequency that you're running, that fuel discount will pay for itself in under 3 months. So you'll get the price of your membership back and then some within 3 months, and that's one heck of a return on an investment, if you ask me. And all the different, there's a different suite of services that NASDAQ offers. You know, I know that before we recommended NASDAQ, and a lot of people kind of, I got a little bit of pushback from some people that were saying, well, they went to the, they went to their, NASDAQ has a program that they like for everyone to come through, that when they kind of like an initiation program. And it was, and they kind of felt like it was a giant sales pitch. Well, hey, they're in the business of selling, ladies and gentlemen. Let's just be honest about it. They have to keep the lights on and everything else, but just because they're selling don't mean that you got to be buying. If it doesn't, and this is just me trying to be full disclosure. I don't have a cut card about the whole situation. I'm not being paid, but I'm just, I recommend that, you know, it can benefit your business tremendously. And just because that they have a sales pitch that they're giving you on all the different suites of services that they have, don't mean that you necessarily got to buy them if it don't fit your operation. But you can also, they have training for you that you can go and get trained on how to do your own drug collection and alcohol collection. You can save that money instead of having to go to a lab or whatever. Of course, you can't drug test yourself. But you get, if you got your wife, if you're a small operation, you take your wife with you, you go get certified, you go get your wife certified. It's all part of some of the services that they offer. You become certified for 5 years to be able to do your own drug and alcohol collection samples. You get the whole, you get all the kits and everything that you need to do your drug and alcohol for your consortium, which is part of what you have to have for your operating authority anyway. You need to be in a drug consortium. So all of that stuff is included into your program. They have some different software, different stuff. You know, you have to do the shopping and find out if that's the best fit for you or not. But they do have good, in my opinion, very good services. And definitely, like I said, if you don't get nothing else, if you just get that fuel discount, that's worth the price of the membership right there alone. But they
couldn't
do
agree
do a
more,
wonderful
Rico.
Job. Yes, sir. They do a wonderful job up that way, and they have many people that are advocates for our industry that you can tap into those resources, such as actually Hank Seaton. They were directly responsible for getting me in contact with Hank Seaton for him to be able to, for us to start the segment, you know, the monthly segment that we do with Hank Seaton on the show. They helped me get that introduction. They have Rick Gobble, who is one of the, you know, former, he started out down in Tennessee with the whole compliance and everything as far as, you know, he's a former, I'm trying to think of the name of it, but he was a former DOT officer, the long and short of it. But he right now he helps and advocates on the behalf of memberships to do data cues and everything like that for when you are pulled over and have different violations. He tries to help walk you through those different situations and try to get you through those situations without it being impactful on you or your FMC, on your CSA scores. So it's definitely NASDAQ has a whole bunch of different things that they have to offer. And if you are out here running under your own authority, you definitely, it's definitely worth having them in your corner. Anything else you want to add about that that situation there, Chuck?
No, it's just, you know what? And they're on top of all that, they are a phenomenal mouth for us, for all of us in Washington, D.C. These guys have, they've, as I said, they hired a lobbyist. Now they've got Marilyn. They have a full-time lobbyist, but they have Marilyn who's advocating for them, which in turn is advocating for us. And there's, you know, they tried to fight the ELD along with, you know, with everybody else, but they were there doing their best. They were at the front lines. And I think for $250, you couldn't ask for better, especially when you get it back in fuel.
Exactly. And this whole ELD thing, what are you hearing about this thing? Because it's kind of heating up hot and heavy down here on this end. Are you hearing anything down on up there on your end about the whole ELD mandate?
Well, I haven't met anybody that is really excited about December 18th, to tell you the truth. No, I haven't heard anything other than that everybody is, you know, people that were fighting it and digging their heels in are now installing ELDs in their truck. I've read some stuff here and there that Indiana was changed their mind and they were asking for an extension, but I don't think it'll happen. I think the closest thing we have to an extension is apparently they're not going to enforce anything until April, and that should be interesting. And nobody is prepared to the degree they should be for this. You know, the carriers, an awful lot of the carriers are not prepared. Certainly the companies that utilize our services, and when I mean ours, I mean all of our services, an awful lot of them have not prepared the shippers or the receivers. They're not loading us or unloading us in time. We're still going through those difficult, you know, we still have to deal with some of those difficult receivers where, you know, to take off two skids is a 6 or 8 hour ordeal. That's happening,
right.
You know, it's still happening. And I would have thought that would have gotten a little bit better. What I am finding is those receivers that have those reputations, drivers are digging their heels in and saying, get somebody else to deliver that one. I'm not doing it because I lose a day's work on that. And you can't blame
me. Yeah, and absolutely. And one of the things that I'm also doing that for myself, and I recommend everybody else too, especially when you're in your negotiations on your lows, on if you're dealing anything on the spot market. And like Chuck said, everybody pretty much knows which places are notorious, you know, your grocery warehouses, et cetera, for holding you hostage like that. And if I'm going to a grocery warehouse, I'm just going to go ahead and tack on an extra $200, $200 to $300 to whatever the rate it is I'm going to do, do a load for. So make sure, don't just when you get good pertinent information while you're doing your negotiations, ladies and gentlemen. Don't just get the city or whatever, and then when you the rate confirmation after you agree to a price, the rate confirmation comes across, and then you see that it's going to the hellhole grocery receiver in town. Just then you're kind of in the paint, so to speak. Get that information before you agree to do the load. Find out where it's going to beforehand, and that way you don't get yourself. And like I've always advocated here, you know, we should be operating, especially if you don't have it in your head. A lot of times I recommend you have it on paper. Have a little checklist that you're going off of, or even create a little script that you're going off of when you're dealing with your negotiations, so that you make sure that you're dotting all your I's and you're crossing all your T's, so that you don't get caught in a situation such as that where you get caught with going to a bad shipper or a bad receiver, and you're going to be held up like that. Work smarter, not harder. That's one of the
Rico, that's one of the areas, though, and we've talked about this one on the show before. If our listeners change their MOs and they start running lanes, okay, rather than running crazy, and they run from point A to point B, they get to know who all the bad actors are. The problem
right.
is when you're based out of California and you end up in Maine, once or twice or four times a year, and you're looking for a load out of Maine to go back west, you're kind of at everybody's mercy. You don't really know where you're going to load or where you're going to unload. You're in unfamiliar territory. And I think with all of these changes in legislation in the U.S., I think it's more important than ever. And I keep saying this and saying it, and people are starting to buy in to have those lanes so you have the familiarity. And you know who the bad actors are, so you know if you've got to go in there, you can count on the fact that, well, if I go in there, I've lost 6 hours, either get paid for it or work your day around it. So you go, you know what, I know it's going to be 6 hours, so I'm really going to take my rest there.
Right.
And you know, when When you're handed lemons, make lemonade.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, it depends. Sometimes, you know your situation. Like I said, I've got a couple of notorious ones in my area down in Atlanta, the Kroger grocery warehouse down there. If I need a load to get me home, if I got to take something, that may be one way that I'm willing to deal with that delay or whatever, because I'm going to be at home anyway. But it doesn't matter. Pretty much when you go into that Kroger warehouse down there, you're going to be there anywhere from 4 to 6 hours, regardless of what it is that you got on, and that's being nice. I've seen poor guys sitting there complaining they've been in there the day before, still sitting in the dock door.
Well, you know what, and why? Yeah, you're right. And that happens sometimes in that industry. And what seems to happen with produce is the receivers, the grocery warehouses, if they've got a whole cooler full of broccoli or celery or whatever you've got on your truck, and they don't need it, they're not unloading you. They're going to leave it on your reefer because it's being, you know, it's cold in there. It's the same temperature as their refrigerator. Maybe it's even better. So why should they unload you? And they'll wait until they've made some room, and then they'll take you off. Now, not all of the grocery warehouses are like that, but there are some throughout the continent that do that.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate. But, you know, like I say, make sure that you get a little bit extra negotiated in while you're going there. And even if I'm going home, I still try to get that little bit extra because, and, you know, that's just a hassle and a pain in the ass to deal with it, you know, sitting at the dock door all day long. Chuck, man, I looked up at the clock, and, shoot, the hour just blew by. We got a couple people with some questions. Let's try to get some people in before we get out of here. Let me go and grab Steve real quick. Steve, you're up and on board with Rico and Chuck. How can we help?
Hey, guys.
Hi, Steve.
Can you hear me? Okay,
sure.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, sir,
Chuck, I've got two contract customers. I'm with Landstar, but they're contract loads. One I'm driving right now, I've carried it 125 times the last 3 years home, 1,000 miles. So, and we're getting from our agents that those customers are highly concerned that they're going to lose some of us good guys that may jump and run after some of this high paying other freight out there. And I said, we hadn't had much of a raise. I said, but we've got great rates.
Right.
And they've actually gone and gotten me, on one of them, 23%. Raise for next year on the contract.
Wow.
And on this one, 14%. Are you seeing that with contract customers coming up? Are they worried that they're going to get, you know, you're going to be left out in the cold because, you know, spot market rates will jump if capacity tightens.
And it has.
They know that people will jump and run it. I mean, there are people here at Landstar that have had loads for years that are jumping off of those and chasing those real high paying loads. I'm not going to do it because I'm like you. I got a triangle, and I know
right.
my three lanes. I know every nook and cranny in those three lanes. And you know, and I do have some spot you know, loads I have to take in those lanes occasionally if something happens. But I know enough about them lanes to be able to do it. So you know, it works like you said. It works for me. But have you seen much of that for next year? Or y'all
we're seeing
try
some
to push
of it, not all over the place, but we are seeing some customers that have been concerned about securing capacity that aren't the nickel and dime customers that really want to get their product to market. Again, those are quite often they're not commodities, right?
Right. Yeah, that's it. I don't pull commodities. I pull chemicals. I pull. I got parts that have to be there, and if you're there on time all the time, you get the freight. You know, that's what I like. So,
and that's how you need to position yourself in this business, Steve.
Right, right. So, all right. Well, you guys do a great show. I've been missing you, but I'm glad you were able to get you a vacation, Rico.
He deserves it.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Steve. All right.
Good night, Steve.
Let's go. We appreciate the phone call there, Steve. Let's go and jump and grab Max. Max, you're up and on board with Rico and Chuck. How can we help? Oh, it didn't click in. Let me see. Let's see. There you go, Max. Are you there?
Oh, it's Matt.
Matt? Okay.
Yeah, Matt,
that's
me?
You open?
Yep.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, hey, it's Matt Youngblood. Long time
to
talk to you guys.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
How you doing, Matt?
Well, I think all the ELDs, there's going to be a shift and everything's going to get better once these problems are exposed. And I got a personal example of it. I haven't been listening to you much because my normal route, I was always in bed by this time because I always had a 3 a.m. on a Thursday morning delivery on the East Coast. And my main dedicated shipper, they just went through last week and rerouted a whole bunch of their routes just to make sure everybody's going to be okay on ELDs. And
wow.
It actually wiped out my triangle, and now I got a direct haul, direct customers from home down to Florida and right back to home.
Excellent.
So
good work,
for me, everything's getting better.
Congratulations.
Hey.
Yep. As far as, you know, just in general, though, you know, like I have refrigerated and multiple drops. But luckily I'm dedicated on all my customers, so I can build a relationship with receivers. But I've been noticing, not a lot yet, but some of them seem to be a little bit more flexible.
Yep.
Good
ones.
I do notice.
Ones, you're right.
Exactly. You know, definitely not all of them, and
nope.
The smarter ones, and some of them are starting to allow a little bit more parking. I don't think they're ever going to get to the point where they can allow everybody to park, but
right.
Or at least, you know, somebody might have a delivery in the middle of the night, and then they gotta at least stay there till 6 in the morning before they can drive or something. It seems a little bit of flexibility is starting to show on their end.
Yeah, it's good news when you hear these things. At least there's,
yeah,
you know, at least there's some good stuff happening. It's not all bad.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say I've ever really been for the ELD, but, you know, I think extension right now would just kick the can down the road. All these problems we've complained about for decades, I'm kind of the opinion, just let it happen and let these shippers and receivers bear the brunt of the problem, and maybe they'll actually improve.
Totally agree with you.
Yeah, I've been. That's something I've been harping on myself, Matt. You know, for far too long, the trucking industry has been used as the magic eraser for all of the ills that have been coming out of, you know, the different nuances that we have to deal with in the transportation industry, and they just think that, well, once we get it on the truck, you know, and we, our industry has created an environment to where, you know, we'll take up the slack for everybody else, and we'll take it on both ends. You know, we get it coming and going, and we haven't been compensated. We haven't been fairly compensated for taking, you know, being that magic eraser, so to speak, because, you know, we catch hell getting loaded, we catch hell getting unloaded, and everything in between, and I don't think that we have been fairly compensated for all of that we bring to the industry, and so now with the ELD mandate, I believe that, you know, some of this stuff is going to start being uncovered, and hey, don't you can't jump up and down. When it's right here on black and white, right here on satellite tracking, showing where you held me up. Don't look at me. Look at your, you know, go
yep.
back and talk to your other vendor about what's going on and why things are the way that they are.
Well, I think the next several months are going to be real interesting as the impact, you know, we see the effect.
Well, I think it'll all work out really well.
Yeah. So, Well, let you wrap up the show, Rico. I'll be on here more often now that I'm changing up my schedule. I'll be awake this time of the evening, so we'll catch up with you another day.
Good stuff, Matt. Appreciate the phone call. Before
night,
we
Matt,
jump
be
out
safe.
Of here, we got one more caller that was on the line, and I like to try to always honor my callers when they press the hand, they raise the hand, they want to get in and up with us. So we're going to go and try and grab Steve down in Georgia. Steve, are you there?
Hey, I do appreciate you guys. I appreciate you guys so much and everything you do. Rico, I'm glad you're back because I've really been missing you around these parks here. I really have been. but I wanted to tell you guys and mainly talk with Chuck Snow. I was leased a Landstar for over 2 years, and during that period when I was leased a Landstar, I was building up my funds and building up everything to transition over into my own authority. And the 13th of this month, I'll be operating up under my authority 3 months now. And I'm going to tell you guys, I have been loving it. I have been loving it. Listening to you, Chuck Snow, listening to you, Rico, and listening to Kenny Long and Kevin Rutherford. You know, doing my homework, everything has really been in place for me. And one of the best advice, Chuck, that you gave me was that you told me to work in my own backyard. You said I'm a one-man, one-truck show, and I don't need to be running all across the United States. And so I'm domiciled out of Montgomery, Alabama, and I've been running back and forth from Montgomery to Atlanta and turn around and coming back. And after the first couple of months, you know, now putting my numbers together, I'm really looking and seeing that I'm averaging over $3 a mile
Wow.
just by working in my backyard. And part of that, and you know, and I do mean part of that, is building that good relationship with your brokers. I can't stress that enough, that when you build your reputation with these brokers.
What type of freight you run?
Dry van. It's mostly. Yeah. It's dry van, and it's building that relationship with the brokers. It's like I can send an email and say, "Hey, I'm going to be in your area at such and such time," and I come like I don't even have to struggle with the rate or anything like that. I get what I need to get, and I'm mostly home every night or every other night. And by doing that, and Chuck, I'm gonna tell you that piece of information that you gave me was really gold for me in that area. And one of the things that I do want to let you know, and the reason for my call, Chuck, is that I just wanted to let you know that I run into one of your Chicago agents, and I didn't let him know about that I have talked with you or I knew you or anything like that. And I was just kind of testing the waters, you know, just to see. And his name was Jeremy out of the Chicago office. And he really went out of his way to make sure that I was comfortable with everything. I didn't have to struggle with the rate or anything like that. And I was able to do the load for him out of the Georgia area over to the Birmingham area. And the whole time I was riding down the road, I was just thinking in my mind, singing a song in my mind, I'm working for Chuck Snow. I'm working for Chuck Snow. but I just had to call you guys and let you guys know that I do appreciate the information, and everything is going great and everything is working just fine on my end. And I appreciate you guys so much. I really do.
Well, congratulations there, Steve. I appreciate the phone call. Looks like Chuck may have dropped. Looks like Chuck may have dropped out, and I hate that. I was trying to get, I wanted to get him in to give everybody a little bit of to let everybody know how to get back in contact with him, and it don't look like he's going to be able to get back in. But so we are at the end of the show, ladies and gentlemen. I appreciate everybody for taking time out of their busy schedule to get on and up on board with us tonight. Let me see here. I'm getting a message. Is that Chuck? Before I wrap up. Yeah. Okay, his phone went dead. That's what it was. So he sent me a message saying his phone went dead. So, yeah, ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate everybody's taking time out of their busy schedules to come on and listen to us tonight. Tell a friend to tell a friend about the show. Check us out every Wednesday. We're going to try to, now that we're back in the saddle again, we're going to try to keep going strong all the way through. And we want to thank Kevin and Lisa Rutherford and the entire Let's Truck team for helping us make this show possible. I plan on trying to get with, we have a member of the Let's Truck team that's a former compliance officer. I'm going to try to get him up and on board. Maybe next week I got to try and reach out to him and see how his schedule is working. But I want to try to get some compliance information for you guys. If you got questions on different things about compliance and things of that nature, get them to us. You can send them to us on the Rates and Lanes Facebook page. And we'll try and build some stuff around that. We're going to try and do a show here in the near future about that. So, yeah, get that information. If you got questions about that, get that over to us so we can start to try to build that out. And God willing, we'll see you guys same time, same place here next week. And then, and if I can talk. And until that time, you guys keep it in between the mustard and the mayonnaise, and we'll talk to you next week. God bless you and good night.